I'm Roseanne, a very grateful believer in Jesus, in recovery, and struggle with the complications of childhood abuse. Growing up in Rochester, New York, my father was lord and master of our home. His every mood and whim ruled our lives. Everything was his way because as king, he was entitled. By the time I was six, I had three younger brothers, and my baby sister was born when I was 11. My father believed women were only good for one thing and that the males were in control. Home life was very stressful as my father generated anger and intimidation. I was always feeling anxious and fearful, and the only comfort I found was in food. My father had a nervous breakdown when I was nine. My parents said that was because he worked too hard and hadn't had a vacation in 10 years. The reality was that he was mentally ill, and this was a secret we were to protect. It was never spoken about. So we handled this by a great defense mechanism called denial and went on vacation. Coming home proved that Dad still ruled the roost as he dumped his directives on me. My father expected me to support my mother as a partner, and she capitalized on this by giving me the duty of keeping my father well. She constantly told me, keep the boys quiet so Daddy doesn't get sick again, or don't tell Daddy, blah, 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 so he doesn't get sick again. The pressure was relentless, and I felt there was no end in sight. And up until the age of 30, this was the extent of my early childhood memories, but I'll get to that shortly. One summer night, at the age of 12, I got drunk on a dare from my cousin. I felt free of pressure and anxiety for the first time ever, until the next morning. Then I felt anxious to discover the consequences of losing control. I was scared and I didn't know what to do, so I asked God to help me. Unfortunately, I had no idea how to connect with him, and neither did anyone I talked to. I also did not know at that time that no cry to God is ever overlooked. As it says in Psalm 65:2, that you are the God who hears at all times, and that a divine appointment was set for me. Feeling powerless, I continued partying as I longed for peace and relief, but all I found was yet another Band-Aid as I added pot to my daily practice of pseudo-peace. Surprisingly, I graduated from high school with mostly A's and started nursing school at the age of 17. This was the first time I was living away from home, and I went wild as I added another addiction to my life. Free sex. Well, it was the 70s, and I thought I was living free, a truly liberated woman. And being me, I never tiptoed into anything. I was the one who dove in and then realized that there was no water in the pool. I tended to get as close as possible to the edge of every cliff and ended up hanging by a thread in situation after situation. I did not realize what was really driving me, why I felt worthless, and that the only way that I could relate to men was sexually. I told myself I was in control, but actually I felt angry, used, fearful, and couldn't trust anyone. Ironically, in nursing school, I began to learn about this phenomenon called psychology, where I discovered concepts about dysfunctional families, codependence, and the effects of living with someone plagued by mental illness. I think I read every self-help book available at that time, from I'm Okay, You're Okay, to My Mother, Myself, and to Codependence No More. It was the beginning of the peeling of multiple layers that bound me. Although I gained a lot of knowledge over the next 8 years of working in psychiatry, I still felt something was missing. I can remember sitting with a group of friends on my 25th birthday thinking, is this all there is? By the time I was 26, I had moved to San Diego, California. For work, I chose a position at an adolescent psych center. But within a few weeks, I knew it wasn't a good choice. Terrible things were going on, and though I spoke out about them, I did not see management intervening to make things safe for the kids. On my last day of work, an older nurse came into my office to say goodbye. An hour passed as she shared what Jesus meant to her and asked me to go to church with her. I reluctantly said yes, anything to shut her up. She invited me to church. I went, and she asked what I was thinking about it all. And that's when I started crying, saying, "This is what I've been looking for all my life. I never felt or imagined the reality of Jesus' love for me. I accepted the loving gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ in January 1981 at Bob's Big Boy in Chula Vista, California. I fell in love with Jesus because he loved me unconditionally, something I had never experienced before. And he showed me his love in a big way by backing his word with action. And within a month of falling in love with God, he miraculously healed me. During my senior year of high school, I had suddenly developed daily headaches that became constant. After 4 years of specialists, a bone spur was found to be growing in my cervical spine at the base of my neck. It was putting pressure on my nerves, and in addition to headaches, I experienced loss of movement and numbness of my left arm, leaving me pretty miserable most of the time. I had surgery to have the spur removed 10 days after I graduated from nursing school. I felt great as I healed from the operation and even carried an 85-pound backpack around Europe about 6 weeks after this. I was the first college graduate in all my extended family. Unfortunately, around a year after the surgery, I developed a rapid spreading arthritis that began crippling me in most of my joints. The pain was hard to deal with, and the only relief I felt was smoking pot. So you can just imagine the delight and appreciation and gratitude I had for the Lord to be free of the pain and able to move freely. I read in Psalm 107:2, "And God sent his word and healed them." So I asked him to do the same for me, and he did. But the Lord didn't stop there. He delivered me from any desire for pot, alcohol, or free sex. Praise God that his word is true and says in Psalm 56:13, "For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before my God." He was definitely all I wanted or needed. Over the next year and a half, the Lord gave me a hunger for getting to know him, and Jesus developed a strong faith and reliance on him and his word. He daily impressed upon me to trust in him and lean not to my own understanding, but if I would acknowledge him in all my ways, he will direct my steps, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. In September 1982, God brought a man into my life who was to become my husband. We had both experienced the ways of the world, and we saw this as a gift, a second chance of building a life serving God together. Although right from the first day he chose not to honor his commitment to me and the Lord, but the Lord never failed me. Over the first 2 years of my marriage, I had the opportunity to attend Bible college. I believe this is one of the means that the Lord used to keep me anchored in him as the marriage was very turbulent. God had a plan and nothing was to stand in his way. We went for Christian counseling and he was diagnosed with mental illness. In those days, we believed as long as we gave it to God, we didn't have to do anything else. We just used that great defense mechanism, denial, and acted like everything was fine and never spoke about it. This was a flashback of years gone past, namely my childhood. I found myself turning to the only comfort I had felt in my childhood, and that was food. About 20 pounds later, I began crying out to the Lord as I realized I was feeling anxious and losing control. As was my usual practice, I set aside time to fast and pray and seek God's guidance. I did this several times over a month period, but every time I felt the Lord was going to reveal to me the root of my issues, I would feel panicky and try to drown those feelings with food. Over this time period, I felt inundated with information on child abuse. It seemed that every news show, magazine, and talk show was accentuating this topic. When I finally quit trying to avoid my feelings, my Lord, the one I trusted with my life, led me to consider that my years of anxiety were actually covering some very painful memories. Memories of sexual abuse at the hands of my father. In the loving arms of Jesus, I was able to allow the thoughts to flow. Painful memories flooded me, but did not destroy me. The hold of free-floating anxiety and fear were broken off me. I shared this experience with my prayer group that night. Amazingly, the Spirit of God brought forth a word of knowledge and not only validated that He spoke to my heart, but also touched the hearts of three other women who were also suffering from past abuse. I shared all this with my husband later that night, and we gave it to God. And using denial, we never spoke about it again. I became a mother of two over the next 3 years as my marriage deteriorated even further, forcing us to leave to find safety. I moved my children back to Rochester, New York in January 1988. We briefly reunited with my spouse in 1990, but this was actually the ending of our marriage. The Lord's final plans for this union produced one last child in 1991, the year also of our divorce. I was blessed to have some healing Christian counseling after this, which God used to lead me into acceptance and forgiveness and a new identity in Him. I could spend hours telling you of the phenomenal adventures we have had over the past 20 years plus as Jesus led our family in His ways. We've learned to do with little, overcome illnesses, and survive financial droughts, seeing God move to meet our needs in profound ways. In all these things, we've been shown His deep love for us, so we could share that with others, of which we were committed to do. My three adult children and I moved out here to Oregon in 2009. It was time for a change and to reconnect with my sister living in Portland. We were privileged to discover Rolling Hills 3 years ago, looking for our place in this body. However, I became aware of a significant shortcoming in my life when my mother moved in with us last year. I became very irritated with her, feeling like a little girl who could never measure up. I did not feel respected and felt unappreciated, even though I was supporting her. I was so ashamed of myself being a Christian for over 30 years and having had so many blessings from my loving Lord. I cried out to God that I was helpless to change myself, and He directed me to celebrate recovery last December. My experience here has made me feel born again. I have fallen in love with Jesus in a new and fresh way and have found a new branch of the family at Celebrate Recovery. I have felt accepted and understood on a level like never before. The acceptance and love that my CR family and friends have given me has been without judgment or condemnation. This has helped me to be more loving and free. I started Step Study last February, and each of the group members had significant growth because they were willing to be transparent and vulnerable. So to the newcomer, I would like to say, give CR a chance. With Jesus as the one true higher power who willingly shares His power, you can change. You can heal and forgive as you accept His love and forgiveness. Thank you.